Market Square's news report for Monday, January 17th, 2022. I'm James, and as always, I'm joined by Katie once again to talk about all the latest PlayStation news and some stuff from around the game industry as well. Good morning, Kate, or I guess good afternoon now. How are you doing?
Good. I'm really good. I just got off. I'm pulling a double podcast duty today. I just got off recording with our friends over at Loud Thumbs. We done another Jackie Chan special for you guys, except this time we watched an OG classic. So
which one? Kung Pao?
No, we weren't hungry. No, we watched a Legend of the Drunken Master, which I advise you to go and watch. It's an absolute blast. But yeah, it's been a good podcasting day. How are you doing?
Man, I'm good. I was checking out some Twitch streams earlier. You know, I've as people know, I'm in the process of moving. And first of all, I know you are as well. And I'm so glad to have you back on video this episode because you're right. It was a little weird, like not making the eye contact and not being able to see anything moving around. So welcome back to the realm of movement and video.
Yes, definitely. This is my temporary office for the day. Still in a transition period, as it were, but... Yeah, at least a little more setup than last week.
Yeah, well, same here, exactly. I've been organizing my desk all morning just to get some semblance of like, hey, I can actually have like a nice setup to sit and podcast and enjoy this little area of my house until we're done, and then I have to go and arrange things for the next 5 hours. But that's fine. anyway, Kate, let's start the news show, shall we? We've got a lot of news to talk about. Of course, we'll start off with the PlayStation news of the last couple of weeks, and then we'll move into the out-of-town kind of news as well, and finish off, as we always do, with a lighthearted kind of interesting story, actually, this week. This is one of my favorites we've had, so look forward to that at the end of the show. And just wanted to remind everyone before we start as well that last week we had a big episode of our main show, The Circles and Squares podcast, which was our predictions for 2022, as well as reviewing our predictions from last year and seeing how we did. And I won't spoil it, but the winner of our predictions from last year got to pick a game for the other person to play at some point this year. And so we've got some exciting plans around that. So check out that episode, and thank you for all the support, as always. One thing we talked about on the last show as well, we'll just mention it quickly here, is we didn't, our last news show was something we missed, unfortunately. We didn't get to talk about PlayStation Plus for this month, but we have a great selection coming up, actually. It's Deep Rock Galactic, Persona 5 Strikers, and the Dirt 5 all on PS Plus this month, and we've agreed, I think we're both playing Persona 5 Strikers this month, so look forward to that next week on the Circles and Squares podcast. We'll be talking all about that game. But our first story for, I guess, this news show, Kate, is a pretty interesting one. It's big news about PSVR 2. We had the controllers revealed later in the year last year, but we've got a whole new article on the PlayStation blog this time outlining kind of some of the first details of PSVR 2 coming, of course, to the PS5. So I'm going to read a little bit about this just so we can give our listeners some context, and then maybe we'll give some thoughts and impressions. But basically, they've announced, PSVR 2 is a thing. It's coming to alongside the PS5. There's no release date as of yet, but there is some details about the unit, including the following. It's a true next-gen experience with high-fidelity visuals, sensory tracking, motion tracking, with a single-cord setup, so it's not wireless. But it does offer 4K, 110-degree field of view, and something called foveated rendering, which I've never heard of, but that sounds very impressive. It also has headset-based controller tracking, with the inside-out tracking. The PSVR 2 tracks you and your controller through integrated cameras embedded in the VR headset. Your movements and the direction you look are reflected in the game without the need for an external camera. And then perhaps the coolest thing about this unit is that it has new sensory features, including PSVR 2 Sense technology combining eye tracking, headset feedback, 3D audio, and the innovative PSVR 2 Sense controller to create an incredibly deep feeling of immersion. Headset feedback is a new sensory feature that implies the sensations of in-game actions of the player, with built-in motor vibrations and tactile elements bringing the player closer to the gameplay experience. For example, now this is where it gets interesting, Kate. For example, gamers can feel a character's elevated pulse during tense moments, the rush of objects passing close to the character's head, or the thrust of vehicle speed as the character speeds forward. And then, of course, there's Tempest audio stuff alongside the headset as well. So some interesting breakdowns there. I don't know how I feel about feeling things whoosh by my head as I'm playing. Like, I mean, what if you're playing like a shooter or something? Like, that sounds a little scary. Yeah. I don't know. But I mean, obviously some big features here. Where do you want to start? Does this anything jump out to you?
I mean, I'm I don't know whether or not to be intimidated or intrigued by this. I mean, it sounds amazing. And just based off of how immersive I find the DualSense controller, I think this has potential to feel incredibly realistic. But I don't know if I necessarily want to feel that, you know?
Yeah. I know, it seems, the technology is very cool, and obviously I think they'll do what they can to limit, like, the horror-ness of it, you know? Like,
yeah.
But
you don't want to be getting motion sickness off of a VR headset that's also making stuff feel like it's whizzing by your head. So
yeah,
a little bit of a sensory overload, perhaps.
Yeah, I just think of going back to like when they're showing off the DualSense controller, and it was like, you know, you can really feel the tension in your bow and arrow as you load the arrow in the trigger, and you have that tension. Like now, you can feel the same arrow whooshing past your head and hitting you in the eyes. So we'll have all the fun of experiencing that. Speaking of arrows, by the way, I guess a secondary story to this is that they've announced a new exclusive Horizon game coming alongside the PSVR 2 called Horizon Call of the Mountain, which is developed by Firesprite and Guerrilla Games in tandem. So this is the first, I guess, AAA, if you want to call it, game announced for the PSVR 2. It makes me wonder, like, will this be coming out relatively late this year to go along with Horizon at the start of the year, or will it be maybe early next year? You know, I wonder if they're going to try and get it out sometime within the next little bit, just to tie in with that Horizon release.
Yeah, I feel like that's maybe a little ambitious, because Horizon's coming out February, right? So
yeah,
it's like really soon, and if we don't have a release date for VR getting rushed out, it seems maybe ambitious, but it's definitely a cool franchise to pick, just because Horizon's such an amazing world, and like there's so much to look at, right? Like the trailer shows one of those big monsters rushing by, and I can just imagine being like, oh, like staring up at it, right? It's like, you know, there's that one tall guy on the train that stands beside you, and you're like, oh, and you just stare up at him. It's just like that. And so like that's a cool game to pick. I see that being a phenomenal VR game, but I also see, oh my God, am I going to be sick playing it?
Yeah, I mean, that's just VR in general. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, yeah, do get motion sickness. You hope that maybe the improved visuals and like, you know, yeah, better screen resolution and stuff might remedy some of that. But I think for some people, it's just an unfortunate reality of VR. One thing that's not mentioned here, and I'm very curious about, is if the PSVR 2 is going to be backwards compatible at all with the original lineup on PSVR, just because, I mean, there's so many games that, like, Beat Saber is one, obviously, and the original Astro's Playroom, like, I would love to go try that out, you know, Iron Man VR, stuff like that, and I wonder if they're going to have backwards compatibility on those things, because it's dicey with PlayStation, right? They're not always into the backwards compatibility stuff, especially, you know, this generation. Obviously, it doesn't seem like we can go back and play a lot of the older stuff. So I wonder if that includes VR, like what that's going to look like. We'll have to see. I bet it probably would be.
I would stake that it would be. I think it'd be a big mistake not to be, considering how like little there are in terms of variety and selection of games compared to a regular console, right? Like there's a lot of offerings now, and it's grown a lot. But I mean, you're still very limited when you compare to like the actual consoles offerings. So I think it's kind of gotta be, just in terms of having a library, and then also like maybe some of them do get upgrades for VR2, maybe some don't, and so you're missing out on some of the features. But I mean, it should be capable, you think.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Do you think you're gonna pick up a PSVR2? Like, what's your interest level in this? Because I'm kind of in.
I don't think so. I mean, I'd want to try one first is my problem. Like, my best friend, he's got a VR headset, and we've played. Like, I love Beat Saber, and there's a couple other games that we've really enjoyed. But the majority of games, aside from ones that are, like, kind of on rails or sort of move in very specific way, I find that I get quite motion sick. Especially with the ones that require you to actively move around, I find there's just that disconnect, and I don't feel super comfortable playing them. So I wouldn't be able to buy one for the games like Horizon and those actual like RPG games that interest me with any confidence until I was able to try it ahead of time. And it's just not worth buying one for the games like, you know, those like arcade fun games like Beat Saber, because you just play those on like, you know, whichever, the Oculus. So
sure.
But we'll see. And it's definitely something I've been interested in keeping an eye on, but I will not be an early purchaser, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be an early purchaser. Like, I don't know if I'd be out pre-ordering it or anything. But I feel like this will be the generation of VR where I do jump in at some point when there's, especially if there's an exclusive. You know, like with this Horizon game being announced, like who's to say that now, you know, all the big first party stuff or a lot of them won't have some type of VR spinoff or something. Like, what if there's a God of War type of spinoff, or even something like Gran Turismo, which I have no interest in playing, like the regular version, but something about if I was doing racing in VR, that seems really cool. So
yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's going to be a wait and see on maybe the software lineup, and especially if it's backwards compatibility. And I mean, Beat Saber already is, like, you know,
Beat Saber is a good reason to get a VR set. That is the best reason so far. We'll see if anything can ever top it, but
well, we will find out, Kate. And for now, we'll move on to our next news story, which is that the PlayStation 4 is continuing production. And this is coming from Push Square, where I'm reading the article from Stephen Tailby. It's interesting because apparently, according to this report, the PlayStation 4 was planned to end production at the end of last year, which is 2021, of course. But that there's now a report coming out of Bloomberg, I believe, where they're actually going to be continuing to make it throughout the rest of this year. And the reasoning basically is that because of the production of the PlayStation 5 is still going to be, you know, dicey based on all the parts shortages and everything, that I guess they're just doubling down and being like, hey, you know what? A lot of these games coming out, they're still cross-platform. There's a lot of people still with PS4s, you know, we may as well just keep making this because we can. So I think it's probably a smart move, honestly, if they're not able to get the PS5s out there. But at the same time, it's kind of like the fact that this is a news story means that we shouldn't be getting too optimistic about the PS5 getting increased. Yeah. Right? So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
That's the sad subtext in my takeaway from this article. It's like, oh shit, no one's getting a PS5 still. Which bodes well for me. I'm selling my PS4. Let me know if you want to buy it. This is a sales pitch secretly. But yeah, it's kind of a shame. I'm interested to see like how many people break down and they're like, well, bugger, I can't get a PS5. I'll make that sad call to buy a PS4. And like, it's good that it's an option because, you know, some people maybe they'd rather have the cheaper version and, like, you know, just have a PS4. And then that PS4 is still a great console. It's still wonderful. But like, what a sad feeling. I can't get a PS5. I'm giving up and just buying a PS4.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think it's positive though, you know, like there's probably a lot of people out there that are, you know, have never just want to get into console gaming. They've seen the new stuff coming out. They're like, yeah, you know what? Screw it. There's just so many great exclusives on the PS4. Like, you know, may as well get this for a year and then wait for the PS5 Slim or something. And I can see a lot of people getting benefit from those kind of deals because there's no way it's going to continue to be full price. Like, you know, they might discount it or something.
Absolutely. I think this is a good option. It's just kind of, the subtext is sort of sad, funny.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But good for you, PS4, I guess. I think it's like moving up the charts arguably as the best-selling console of all time, right? Like, I don't know if it's going to catch the PS2 or off the top of my head. I think PS2 is still quite a ways ahead. But I mean, the PS4 is
one of the greatest selling. It's a really good console. Like, PS4, like, I played the shit out of my PS4. And if it wasn't for a PS5, I would still be using it basically every day. It is a great console.
It's funny though, like I find even the majority of the stuff I play on my PS5 at this point is still like a PS4 game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I play Returnal and I play Demon's Souls, and that's the only PS5 content I've actually touched. Everything else is just, I'm doing my PS4 backlog on PS5 because it just runs a little bit nicer and I love the DualSense.
Yeah, honestly, like that's the main reason, right? And the loading times obviously are so much nicer.
My Bloodborne playthrough, oh man, we make it back to Yharnam. I'm so used to being able to like, oh, I'll answer all my text messages and like, you know, go make some lunch. But now it's like, oh my god, I got halfway through a message and I'm back in the game. It's
you like missed the tool tips on the loading screen. You're like, wait, what was that?
You gotta read them all? Sorry, what about the sock lever? Yeah, it's wild.
Man, okay, well, let's move to our next story, which may be related to part of this, Kate. I've there's some interesting stuff coming out. So this next story is from Eurogamer, and that Sony is reportedly pulling PlayStation Now subscription cards away from UK retail stores. And so this is an interesting thing to happen because if there's been that rumor of Project Spartacus, right? About like the removing PS Now as a service and maybe integrating that with PS Plus or and expanding that. I know PlayStation have bought Crunchyroll a little while ago, so I don't know if that would be, you know, either some kind of streaming technology from that or just adding that to the service. But I mean, there's a lot of rumors flying around because of this, saying that they're going to be kind of ramping up what the that subscription looks like. Like your PS Plus subscription, does that now include PS Now? Is it now a unified service, or what does that mean? But the fact that these cards are coming off out of retail, I mean, it's got to mean something. They wouldn't just stop selling them because they'd be losing money on that service, right? So it's interesting, and I wonder if they're planning to expand, like, how many free games people get a month, or if there's going to be some type of Game Pass adjacent service, and maybe that's one of the reasons they're like, hey, you know, let's get as many PS4s out there because so many of these games still run on that console. Do you think there's some truth to this, or what do you think it might look like?
I think it's basically got to be this. And if it wasn't this, this is their opportunity to backpedal super hard and go, okay, hang on, Project Spartacus is now the streaming service. Because I don't know what it could be that would be like make more sense than doing one of these, right? Like, Xbox Game Pass has been the hottest shit for like since it came out, and it is not slowing down. And like, if they're removing these from the store, like, this basically gives credibility to the fact that it is going to get merged. There's going to be some kind of system. I hope it's a nice tiered system, because I think everyone's going to want slightly different levels of commitment with it, with subscription. So especially for people who just want to keep doing PS Plus and don't want to change anything, that's very important. So I really hope that they just put out reasonable prices with reasonable content for each one. That I think is where it, the news is going to be when it finally ends up, but I think it's pretty much guaranteed that this is sort of the model that's coming.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think you're right on with the price, because for me, it's like, you know, if PS Now was just added to my PS Plus subscription, what do we pay, like $20, the equivalent of like $15 a month or $20 a month or something? Like, that would be something really cool to check out. I would love to just pop in, and I mean, I love popping into Game Pass and just like, oh, I'll check out an hour of this game, and if I don't like it, I'll just delete it. And if I like it, then look, I've just found another thing to play, quote unquote, for free. And if PlayStation could have something like that, that would be amazing. But at the same time, as someone that has Game Pass, I don't know how much I would love to pay extra for the same thing kind of on PlayStation, when a lot of the time there's just less stuff on PS Now compared to that.
I don't think you need both is the thing. I think this is really attractive for people who just don't have like an Xbox, or it's nice for me, because I know I've tried out the trial for Game Pass on PC, and I find that it's just not as appealing as having it on console or having it on both. Like, there just isn't as many options, and I personally really hate the UI for it. So that put me off, and I had that horrible issue with the save file on 12 minutes. And so Game Pass isn't the best experience for me, even though I do really agree with it for a lot of people. So just having like a PlayStation one that's already attached to a service I use is convenient. But at the same time, like, I don't know, I have too big of a backlog anyway. It's hard to justify buying a subscription service for a bunch of other games that just stress me out because I'm already not playing the games I own. But I could see one day down the line, like, just picking it up, especially if it's like so easy to justify, like, oh, just an extra $10 on this like monthly payment or this like subscription that I paid, you know, the start of the year and forgot about. So
that's true.
To go down that rabbit hole with subscriptions and things.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would imagine I'll probably try it out, but we'll wait and see what it is. I mean, the rumor on this article from Jason Schreier, I believe, is that there would be a tiered system, and the first tier would have some classic like PS1, 2, 3 PSP type of games, and then higher tiers would add PS Plus and that stuff to it. So I think it just depends on what it's going to be, but it seems like a good service. And I mean, so many people, again, have PS4s, like, it would just be money in their pocket to get people to subscribe to this, right? Like, they're already doing. But yeah, we'll wait and see. I think the classic stuff would be pretty appealing, though, for a lot of people.
Yeah, because
that's something that PlayStation hasn't really done.
Yeah, especially if you can just hop in and hop out like you can with a Nintendo. Like, I wouldn't want a subscription for PS1 games all the time. But I might buy it for a month just to kind of like have a weekend or two where I I go through some older titles and then I don't need it again. So I think what it comes down to here, and my hope, is a lot of flexibility.
Flexibility, name of the game. Okay. That is all of the PlayStation news we have for this week. But let's move into the out-of-town scoreboard, Kate, because we got some pretty interesting comments from Phil Spencer. And I'm reading this from Pure Xbox, which is from a few days ago. And Phil essentially is pointing out that Xbox has some tools, you know, AI tools that highlight conversations that are getting to be really destructive or inappropriate. And essentially what he's proposing is there should be some kind of way to for the industries to get the industry to get together and essentially ban people across other networks. So if you're you know, connected all your accounts, I guess the way that I interpret it is like, okay, well, if I've, you know, linked my account to like PlayStation and Epic and Xbox, and it's all through my same email or my same kind of, I don't even know how it would connect, but it would be like if I banned someone for being negative or toxic or something, that they would be banned on across all of my accounts. And it would just be a way to for people to just get away from those type of internet assholes, essentially. So it's an interesting, it's really ambitious idea, but I think if it was to work properly, and it would just be only good for the consumer.
Yeah, I think this is one of those like pipe dream things that in theory is amazing, but like logistically sounds like an absolute nightmare to make it feasible. I could see it maybe working for games that let you like import, like you just have an account and you're able to play it on any platform. Like for, I think Bungie does this for Destiny, like you have your Bungie account and then you can pull, if I'm recalling correctly, you can either pull characters over or you can just sign in on your preferred platform and play that way. And now that there's crossplay between the consoles, you're playing technically through your Bungie account still, but it's just linked to Steam and then linked to your Xbox Live. Yeah. And so I could see it working on something like that because it goes directly through that feed of your Bungie account. But like if you just own a game on multiple places, and like that just sounds like a nightmare. Like I feel like there'd be some like gray area of like making sure it actually is the same person, and like it just sounds like an absolute mess. But it would be nice because if you're a dick on PC, you're probably a dick on Xbox Live.
That's right. I related to Rocket League and I'm just thinking like, okay, how would this work? Because like you said, I think there's a lot of moving parts, right? Like my Rocket League account, I have it on Epic, I have it on PlayStation. Hypothetically, I could download it on my Xbox and they would all be signed in to like me as the Rocket League player. So if someone was to ban me, I guess if they were to run into me on any of those three platforms, I wouldn't show up. But that's assuming that I've used the same email for each of those. That's assuming that, you know, I'm signed in, like all my accounts are connected. And then also it's like assuming the other way around too. Like what if the person that banned me had their accounts were not connected? So if they banned me like on their PlayStation, but then they ran into me on Epic, I wouldn't be banned if their accounts weren't linked as well, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of variables and it's tough to track. So like that's why I'm totally on board with any kind of like feature that's implemented for like player positivity. And like I think banning systems and like tribunal systems and like being up to date on those kinds of things, especially for online service games, is very important. Like, I will never set foot on League of Legends again. And it's specifically
it's because everyone's an asshole.
It's a horrible environment. And Riot, like, you can report people, but you never feel like they ever actually, you know, nothing ever happens to them. I think the only time I've really seen people get banned is when they're actually, like, cheating. So they have good protection for that. But not so much on just being a dick. Maybe they get a warning and they can't play for a week, but then they just have six other accounts, so it doesn't matter. And so I'm 100% on board for, you know, getting that toxicity out of there, but I don't know if this is like the behemoth effort that will end up solving things.
Man, yeah, well, I mean, I think he's on the right track. I think the logistics just need to be ironed out, right? Speaking of toxicity on the internet, I'm reading through the comments of this article underneath, and everyone's slamming Phil Spencer for trying to take control of the industry and let platforms have autonomy. And you know what I say to you? If you're arguing that people should be able to be an asshole on multiple different platforms, then I think you're the asshole, and you should shut up and stop commenting negative things.
What if, What is the argument? Like, oh man, I should not be able to play PlayStation just because I told someone to kill themselves on Xbox.
Yeah, like, what the? Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
That's funny.
Be good people, everyone. Be nice. And everyone support the banning of assholes online. Because
Feel like every time we do a news show, there's always something about, like, toxicity or, like, people trying to implement ways to stop it. And then, like, it just turns into, like, us begging people just be nice to each other.
Yeah, once a news show, it's like, just please be nice, man. Like, we're just out here trying to do a podcast. Yeah. Like, people aren't mean. We haven't had too many mean people for us, but I mean, in general, the internet's just full of people like berating other people, making fun of people for what they like.
Like, we could start just pre-recording like a segment that goes at the beginning of the show, like, remember, be nice to each other.
save ourselves like a nice 10 minutes.
Save ourselves the trouble.
It'd be perfect. Oh man. Okay, let's move to our last story, and this one's a very cool one. It's probably my favorite story of the day, honestly, aside from maybe the PSVR2 stuff. And this one is there's been I guess a canceled Game Boy Color add-on that's been uncovered by Liam Robertson, who does a lot of work online uncovering historical game stuff and unreleased technology and games and whatnot. But this is a story about a peripheral, I guess similar to like the Game Boy printer, right? Or like those type of add-ons. And this one's called the Page Boy, and it would have brought basically like early pager / like Palm Pilot functionality to the Game Boy Color, like messaging, early form of Nintendo Directs is what it says in the highlight as well. Like, I guess you could they could broadcast commercials to you or something. It just seems like a really interesting peripheral that's very multifunctional. And unfortunately didn't go anywhere, but there would have been, I guess, like a way to talk to Nintendo and get some kind of advice as well or something like that. Like, yeah, it seems like very multifaceted.
There's a Ask Mario function. You know, remember Ask Jeeves, but this time you ask Mario, and it's like a search engine and look up like various queries for your games. And I think it had like email functions, so you could email other page boy.
Other page boys.
Other page boys, yeah. This is so incredibly cool. I can't believe, like, this is old and no one ever knew about it. Like,
it's interesting how stuff like this can be unknown for so long. Like, I think this would have been like, what, 1999, it says here. Nintendo had agreed to work with Wizard on this project, codenamed Cheetah, after someone was hired as a design consultant in 1999. So, wow, yeah, long time ago.
Yeah,
it seems like crazy they would be like making technology for the Game Boy Color that could do this.
Yeah, this seems pretty advanced for the Game Boy Color, especially like, I don't know how advanced the emailing functions would be, but like being able to message each other through your Game Boy, like I want to live in the alternate universe where instead of smartphones, we just all have Game Boys with Page Boys built in.
Like, we're still using them now.
I know smartphones like have games on them, right? But they're phones first and like gaming systems second. And so I want to live in the alternate universe where like everybody's got like Game Boy, like the 30th version of the Game Boy, and it's like a Game Boy first and a smartphone secondary, and it's still called Page Boy.
yeah.
And like Mario, Google doesn't exist, it's just Ask Mario when you have a search question.
Yeah, Mario is like the default way to find anything out on the internet.
Yeah, no Siri, no like whatever, it's just Mario in your house.
Damn. Yeah, it says here on the article, so it says, due to lack of cost-effective duplex wireless data networks covering Japan and Europe, the PageBoy would have likely been limited to a North American market, which allowed Nintendo to deem the project was a no-go because they wanted it to be universal. So yeah, that's too bad, because I mean,
it sounds like it was a little ahead of its time, like maybe ambitious for the time, and then it's just no one would use it now because it there's other technology, like more convenient ways to do that, but...
You know what it reminds me of is like PictoChat. I wonder if someone was like, hey, you know, we got to make PictoChat on the DS because it's kind of, you know, we never got to do this. And so some designer was like, you know, 15 years ago, I was making this Page Boy and it didn't come together. Like, I'm going to put this PictoChat thing on DS.
Yeah, it was a shame. I feel like Page Boy would have been a bigger success. Like, nobody used PictoChat.
Yeah,
nobody cared, but I feel like kids for like 5 minutes. Page Boy. It's the worst level in Smash Bros. Too. Imagine the Page Boy Smash Bros. Level and how much better it would be.
Oh my God. All right. Well, this is surprisingly not our feel-good fun story for the end of the show, but let's get into that one right now, Kate. So our last story, we like to do something fun, dig up these weird stories from around the internet. And I found one here that's pretty impressive. And I've been like monitoring this throughout the day, by the way, before we were recording. But there is a Twitter account where you can actually play Pokemon Crystal. Someone has a working ROM of Pokemon Crystal. Similar, I guess, to like Twitch plays, you know, like that type of thing. But you can actually play Pokemon Crystal inside this person's Twitch Twitter avatar. So you go in, I guess you like tweet their account, and then you can control what's happening, and it moves around when you refresh the page. And I actually was watching this earlier, like just clicking refresh here and there, and I was just watching them walk step by step up into Goldenrod City in Pokemon Crystal earlier. It took about 35 minutes. With very little movement going on, but it's really cool, and I couldn't even begin to understand like how is this programmed or how does this work. But people are so freaking smart.
Yeah, this is amazing. The fact that it's just like the avatar, like this is incredible. I love the article too. It says Pokemon Red took Twitter 40 days to beat with over 90,000 comments instructing the player character what to do, and so now Crystal is like trying to beat that record of how quickly they can beat the game, and it is just so incredibly cool. Like, how are people at Game Freak making this barren, baseless Arceus Legends, and someone over here is an absolute legend themselves making Pokemon Crystal playable on Twitter? Like,
that's a good point.
It's so cool.
That's a really good point.
For as much toxic people that we call out here and say the community's got that bad aspect, there is such a wonderful, amazing section of the community too, just doing cool stuff like this. And it's I'm glad we get to highlight this as well.
Me too. I want to say though, like, people, don't get your hopes up. I really don't think they'll beat Pokemon Red or Pokemon Crystal, sorry, faster than 90,000 comments, just because the game is like twice as long as Red version. So hopefully they do it right. They took 40 days to beat Pokemon Red. Maybe this will be at least somewhat quicker than
that. Right, maybe this will be less days, more comments, but less days. They get a little more traction. Yeah.
We'll have to keep track. And also shout out to this, I guess, the person that makes it, Constantine Leotard from Montreal, Canadian. So from one Canadian show to a Canadian creator, congratulations on this lovely in-game avatar thing. It's very, very cool. And man, maybe we should go contribute. Maybe we know Pokemon Crystal pretty well. Okay? We should probably go get in there and see if we can help out. And you know, I think right now they have like a Spinarak and a Venonat and like, you know, some other questionable choices.
They've got a Venonat named Soup, which I'm 100% into. And they've got Quilava too. So they picked a pretty good starter for this one. Okay. I'm not on board.
Not bad. We're on board for that. Oh, man. Anyway, Kate, I think that brings us to the end of the show here. So it's a nice, short, compact news show for you guys. We like to try and keep this one a little shorter because sometimes we run long on the main show with some of the topics and stuff we get into. So we hope everyone has enjoyed the news for this last couple of weeks. Again, if you did, we appreciate all the support wherever you're listening to the show, whether that's a Spotify rating, a YouTube subscription, whatever it is, we appreciate you helping us grow the show and spreading the good word of Circles and Squares. So much love to everyone there. And we, Kate, will be back on Monday. What is the next date coming up here? It's the 17th is when this show comes out. So the next episode, the 24th.
Don't listen to me.
Yeah, don't listen. We'll see everyone on January 24th with our Persona 5 Strikers discussion, as well as some other stuff. I don't know what we're talking about yet. It's going to be fun. So look forward to that, and we'll see y'all soon.